Today's daf is Babasra daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on daf Kuf Lamed Bezam Bez on the first wide line at the word Hahu. The Gemara is going to tell three different cases where it's possible that the woman loses the ability to collect her ksuba because of her acquiescence or participation in allowing the nechasim to go elsewhere. That might be enough to make her lose the ability to collect her ksuba. So we're going to have three different cases where there's at least a discussion about such a possibility. And then the Gemara is going to discuss when the language of a gift isn't particularly clear, whether the person means to give something as a gift or he means to give something as Yerusha. So what is it? Do we view it as Matana or do we view it as Yerusha? And the Gemara is going to discuss, well, Lamai Naf Kamina. Either way, the items that he's giving go to the person that he's giving it to. So what difference does it make whether he means it as a Matana or as a Yerusha? The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss whether it's okay to give your stuff to other people and thereby deprive the Yarshim of receiving the Yerusha. Is that a permissible thing to do? And the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Chachamim agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion that if the children are no good, that if the children are bad kids, that then it would be permissible, that then it would be a worthy thing to do to give it to other people. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out whether the Chachamim agree to that. It's going to bring two major rayos to try to resolve that issue of whether the Chachamim are in agreement with Rav Shimon Gamliel about that issue. So let's begin at the word Ahu, the first wide line on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Ahu Damar Luhu Palga Labras Upalga Labras Vitilta Liitas Pepiri. A guy said that I'm giving half of my possessions to one daughter, half of my possessions to another daughter, and one third of the payros of my possessions to my wife. So Ikla Rav Nachman l'Sura, Rav Nachman went to Sura, Alagabe Rav Chista, Rav Chista went to him, Amalei, Ki Agav Namai. So he said, what's the halacha in such a case? Amalei, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Afilu lo hiknala ela dekel echad l'peirosav of the ksubasa. Even if all he was makna to his wife was a single dekel for its fruit, that would be enough for her to lose her ksuba. She got that dekel, and that's it. Amalei, Emor Damar Shmuel, Hasam Dakni Begufa Da'ara, Hacha Piruhu, Peter Bialnuhu. No, we normally say that that's considered a collection of or a mechila of the ksuba when she gets some actual karka. Over here, all of the karka was given away to the daughters. None of the karka was given to the wife. It was only the peros of the dekel that were given to the wife. Amalei metaltli kamrit. Oh, you're talking about metaltlin? Metaltli vade lo kamina. If all she got is metaltlin, then I agree. Then I never meant to say that she would lose the right to collect her ksuba if it were only metaltlin. Rashbam writes over here that the case must have been that the guy was a shchiv meira, and that's what the Yad Ramah writes as well, because otherwise his amira doesn't do anything. The idea that that with amira alone you could be makna only works by a shchiv meira. So the Ravid brings a raya from here that you don't need to be kosev dafka amira, as long as the person is a shchiv meira, amira would help as well, and that would be enough to deprive her of her ksuba. Now what exactly was the Hava Mina and the Maskana over here? Meaning, what did Rav Nachman originally think and what became clear to him at the end where he finally admitted? So it must be that originally he thought that the peros that we were talking about were peros mechubarim, whereas this is what the Rashbam explains. But now he realized that the peros that he was makna were actually peros tlushim. They were not mechubar at all. They were mamish metaltalin. The Ritva just adds that he realized that they were that either they were tlushim or they were mechubarim shenim tshim. They were mechubarim that no longer needed to be attached to the ground, because we do have this principle that kala omed liksar kikatzur dami, or kala omed libatzur kibatzur dami, kala omed litlosh katalosh dami. Anything that is already ready for its removal is considered as if it's removed already. So it would be considered metaltalin, even though physically it's still mechubar lakarka. The Piskei Rid suggests that originally he thought that he was makna the shlish of the peros forever, one third of the peros forever, and that's like hakna'as dekel leperosav. That actually is like being kona an actual dekel tree. What he realized afterwards was that it was only shlish peros of this year, so it's not really the dekel, it's mamish just the peros, and peros alone are only mitaltalin. Now, happens to be bizman hazeh the halacha may be different, because there was a takanas ha-ga'onim going way back to the times of the ga'onim that you could collect the ksuba even from mitaltalin as well. So it may be that the halacha is going to be different, that maybe even giving metaltalin is considered an asina vis-a-vis a ksuba because of that takana sanga onin, that a ksuba can even be collected from metaltalin. Says the Gemara, next situation. Who darma lu tlasa lebras, v'tilta lebras, v'tilta lebras, v'tilta li'itas. A guy says, one third of my possessions go to one daughter, one third go to another daughter, and one third go to my wife. Shchiva chada mi binte. One of his daughters then passed away. Savra papi lemeimar lo shakla elatilta. So Rav Papi thought to suggest that the wife should still only get that one third that he had originally given to her, because he had given away all of his possessions and she was okay with that. So even though he's now getting back one third of his possessions because his daughter has passed away, so now he's being yoresh back the one third of those possessions, those possessions that he's being yoresh back are not going to be meshubad to any sort of ksuba. So Amalei Rav Kana, ilu hadar kani milo shakla. If he bought new possessions, wouldn't she be allowed to collect from those new possessions that he bought? Mikivin ilu hadar kani shakla ashanami shakla. So now also it says if he's acquiring new things because he's acquiring these possessions that he didn't have before. If you take a look at the Rashbam, where toward the bottom, five lines from the bottom, da amalu tilta lebras tilta lebiti ashniyah v'tilta leishti dainu asah ashutaf ben abanos, that initially he had made her a partner with the daughters. Umin adin avduk subasa mehani trei tilti shenasana avlubanos. Really, she should lose the ability to collect her ksuba from the two thirds of the property that the guy had given to his daughters. Shai machalu shibuda. She was mochal the shibur on them. Velo titrav on michov ksubasa klum elim kein yikna balin chasam acherim acharei kein. And the only way she really should be able to collect her ksuba from anything is if the husband buys new property afterwards. That's going to be meshubah to the ksuba. Shai min chasam abayim. She wasn't mochel her shibud on the nechassim that he does not yet own. She was only mochel the shibud on the nechassim that he's already given away. It happens to be he was never kona anything else. But these nechassim he reacquired, because one of his daughters predeceased him. So he was yoresh yorish bito, because that's the halacha that a father is yoresh daughter. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that the halacha over here is that he's going to that she's going to be able to collect, because that's the same as him acquiring new nechassim from elsewhere. And now a third case. Ha'udu palgina l'nichsei l'itzei ul'bnei. A person divides up his nechassim between his wife and his children. Shi'er chad dikla. When he divides up these nechassim, he leaves out one decal tree from the division of the estate. Savarin v'ravina l'meimar lesla elachad dikla. So Ravina thought to say, when she collects her ksuba, she was mochel on the shibud of everything else except for that one decal that was not included in the division. So whatever she can get from that one decal, whatever value she can get out of that one decal, that will pay for ksuba, but nothing else. That's it. Amalei Rav Yemla Ravina, I lesla, chadikla nami lesla. If she's not entitled to collect, then she doesn't get from that decal either. Elamigo de nachta ledikla, nachta nami lekula nichsi. But if she is able to get, once she's able to collect from that decal, she's able to collect from the entire nechassim. The Rashbam explains, Amalei Rav Yemla Ravina, I lesla ksubasa mechelik habanim, mishum diyadu delasli nechassim achrini, umachalu bishvil shasa shud. If you're going to work with the assumption, his argument is, if you're going to work with the assumption that she's mochel whatever the guy had given to the sons, to the children, because she became a shutof with them and she was clearly therefore mochel, it doesn't matter that there was a dekel that wasn't divided up, that wasn't given out. She participated in this chalukah and she took a portion, and through that alone, she's mochel the shibud on anything that she didn't take. What difference does it make to her whether he gave that decal tree to the bottom or not? she got what she got, and she was willing to be mochel the whole rest of everything else that he owned. Whatever he will buy, she's not yet mochel, that she'll still be, but whatever he currently owns, she's mochel, even that dekel tree. So if you're going to say that she's mochel, she's mochel. But if you're going to say she's not mochel and she could collect that dekel, so then the fact that she was shosek on the about the rest of the items that were given out to the children, she figured that we should not interpret that shtika as a mechila. She just figured that after she collects from the dekel, she'll be able to collect from the children as well. She'll be able to collect from the portion that was divided up to the children as well. Amar Rav Huna, Shchiv Mira shekasav kol nechasav le'acher. If a Shchiv Mira writes that all of his nechasim go to somebody else, Roin im ro'i liyorsho notu misham yirusha. So we have to see, who is this somebody else? If he's someone who's one of the yarshim, one of the people who should be yarshining, for example, a ben ben abanim, a bas ben abanos, something like that, a guy has five sons, this is one of his sons. The only thing is, he's giving all of his nechasim to this son, so then he gets it b'toras yerusha. V'im lav, notel mishum matana. But if he's not, ro'i liyarsho, then he gets it as a matana. If you look at Rashbam, about the six wide lines, shekasav kol nechasav stam. The point is, he writes it, but he doesn't say explicitly what the type of transaction is. V'lo pirish, lo lashum matana, v'lo lashum yerusha, Elastama, Nechasai Laploni. He just stam writes that my Nechasim go to somebody. So if it's someone who's rightly Yarsho, he's getting it as Yerusha. Otherwise, he's getting it as a Matana. The Ramah and the Ritva and others suggest that the Gemara understands that it's not just one situation, that we're trying to say if rightly Yarsho, then it could be that they're going to get a Petorus Yerusha, and that's if he set up a Lashon Yerusha. Einol rightly Yarsho, it could be that they'll get a Petorus Matana if he set up a Lashon Matana, meaning we're not really being mechadish, the way the Gemara initially understands, he's not being mechadish anything. All we're saying is, if he gives it as a matana, it's a matana. If he gives it as a yerusha, it's a yerusha. But nothing, no real chiddush. The way the Rashbam understands it is, it already is a chiddush. That he doesn't use a lashon matana or a lashon yerusha, and we're determining what it's going to be based on who the person is, not based on anything in his language, because there is nothing in his language. Why is it that if it's royally Yarsha, he gets it Petoras Yerusha, that if it's one of his sons, the son is going to get it Petoras Yerusha? So if you look at the Rashbam in Dibur Maskel Rowin Im writes as follows, Im Oso Mekabel Matan Royal Yarsha, Kigon, Ben Ben Abanim, Notam Petoras Yerusha, Rabbi Yochum and Baroka. This is exactly the Allah of Rabbi Yochum and Baroka that we've spoken about so much, that if a person wants to divert all of his Nechasim to one of his Yarshim, he's allowed to do that. The kiven the royal yoshim stama lahorish lo neskaven hol velo pirish lo shematana. Since he's royal yosha, we assume that that was his kavana, since he didn't say loshon matana. Avol gabi yerusha in sarik lefarish de memela kiyaris. But by a regular yerusha, you don't have to say that, happens automatically. Hilkol kalhecha dika lukma bi yerusha de tafsa menatara lo matni le mistama be matana le meyakar nach vadar reisa. Whenever you have the ability to be morish with dina yerusha, why would we assume that he's making a brand new transaction that is not Yerusha, that's a separate Matana? So we work with the assumption that it's Dina Yerusha. If you think about that Rashbam carefully, it sounds like the Rashbam is actually giving two separate explanations as to why it is that he's Roy Liarsho. Number one, that if he wanted to give it as a Matana, he should have said so. And number two, why would he want to be Oker Yerusha Doraisa? We have the right to assume that since there is such a thing as Yerusha Doraisa, he wouldn't want to uproot Yerusha Doraisa. Rav Elchanan, in his Kovetz Inyanim, on this Rashbam, just points out that second reason of the Rashbam sounds like if he's being manchil to one of his children, he's not being Oker Yerusha Shel Torah. So the Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda that he's not in violation of Avaris Nachla Bein Abanim. So it sounds like that might be considered, according to Rashbam, Akiras Nachla Min HaTorah, meaning that this is considered an Akiras Nachla, even though you're giving it to one of the sons. So So that's Rav Chanan discusses whether this is considered to be an akira of the Yerusha in general when you're morish to one of the children, meaning the whole svara that oh it must be Yerusha because why would he be okri Yerusha min haTorah? Maybe he's already being okri Yerusha min haTorah by not allowing it to be divided properly al pi dinei Yerusha to all of the children. The Rashbam also explains that since that if the person's not royally usher, he gets a Misha Matana, since he's not royally for Yerusha, we say that clearly he's not Motzi Dover Levatala, the Rashbam explains. The Imlav, if you look at Rashbam, Dibra Maskul Imlav, he must mean that I'm giving it as a Matana. Why? The ein adam motzi dvarav betelin mipiv. A person would not say nonsense. So if it's not a matana and it's not a yerusha, it's nothing. So it's got to be a matana. If the person is not royally yerusha, it has to be matana. Otherwise, it would mean nothing. Whatever he's saying would be absolute nonsense. And there's no way that a person would just say something that's absolute nonsense. So the Achronim raised the question: what do you mean? There's no way that a person would be motzi dvarav levatala? That is a whole sugya, Maseches Arachin. If a person says the erech of something that has no erech, it says the erech of this table, You look at, in the whole list of Torah, of the values of Arachid, it's all about people, based on gender, based on age. There's no such thing as the erech of the table. So do we say, Eino de Mosi Dvar V'Atala, he must have meant something, so he probably meant the value? Or do we say, no, a person sometimes says stupidity, so just pay no attention to it, and Istam just meant something irrelevant, something completely irrelevant. So that's a machlokas in the Sugya Ne'erechin, Daf Heyam and Aleph, for the person Motzi Dvar Levatala, and we pass them like the Chachamim that Adam Motzi Dvar Levatala. And over here the Rashbam says, yeah, of course, a person would never be Motzi Dvar Levatala. It's against the halacha, what the Rashbam says. The maskan of that sugya is we pass them like the Chachamim that a person is Motzi Dvar Levatala. So how do you resolve, how do you answer for this Rashbam? So in the Sefer Koheles Yaakov of the Mahari Al Ghazi, there are a number of Sfarim called Koheles Yaakov. This is Mahari Al Ghazi. If I'm not mistaken, Mahari Al Ghazi is the father of the Maharit Al Ghazi. But the Mahari Al-Ghazi says, quotes those who are mechalik between a bari and a shchivmira. But a shchivmira is about to die, then he would not be motzi dvar levatala. And his raya is from this Rashbam, that the Rashbam assumes that a person who never be motzi dvar levatala must be because he's a shchivmira. Healthy people say stupid things. Dying people are much more careful with what they say because they know the impact of the words of a person who's on their deathbed. In the Amudei Ari says that the whole machlokes Rameir Lechamim is only where we don't need to be mefarish Tavarov against the mashmaus of what he says, but where you have to be mefarish, it could be that it's included in the mashmaus of his lashon, like he says nechasei leploni. It could be that it's lashon yerusha, it could be it's lashon matana. That everyone agrees that we should try to be mefarish. Meaning, if you have the ability to be mefarish, when the words themselves make no sense, so you have to say a pshat that's against his actual words. He says the erech of this table doesn't have any erech. Oh, he must have meant the dummim. It's not what he said, though. It's that his words did not at all say that, so that's what we're going to say. He was just mostly Dvar Levatala. But over here he said, Nechasei Leploni. It's just a matter of being Mefarish. Nechasei Leploni be Yerusha, or Nechasei Leploni Bimatana. So neither of those possibilities are against the words that he said. So if you could be mefarish within the words that he actually said, then we would assume ein adam motzi dvar levatala, and that's why the Rashbam makes that assumption over here. So that's some of the answers that the Achronim give over here. So anyway, so the Gemara says that that's the statement of Rav Huna, that it all depends whether the person is rotli liyosho or not. Amr of Nachman, ganve gnuvi lamalach. Why do you need to ganva this statement? Isviru lach Rabbi Yochum and Broka, ema lach Rabbi Yochum and Broka. If you hold like Rabbi Yochum and Broka that you're allowed to give all of your Yerusha to one of your Yoshim, so say that. Say, I paskel like Rabbi Yochum and Broka, that all of the Yerusha could go to one of the Yoshim. Tashmaitzich Rabbi Yochum and Broka dazla. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. There's no other chiddush in what you're suggesting other than the fact that if it's royal Yerusha, that person can get all of the Yerusha. So why are you pretending? Rav Huna, you're saying your own chiddush that if a guy is royally yerusha, that he'll get all of the yerusha. That is exactly Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The proper way to say such a thing is halacha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, rather than taking all the credit for yourself. Dilma kihaka amrit. Maybe what you really meant to say was as follows: Dahu davakashachiv. The guy was dying. Va'amrlein nechase leman, and he said, who should they said to him, who should we give your nechasim to? Dilma Laplanya? The people standing around the bed made a suggestion. They said, ooh, should we give the nechasim to so-and-so? He seems like a worthy candidate. Va'amaluhu, and the dying man says, Ella Laman, yeah, who else? Who else would you give it to? As the Rashbam says, Kolomer, Manka Shakal Nechasai Elohu, Vavi Kamadam Le Nechasai Lecha, Vainu Shakasav Deka Amrit to Mali Kasav Mali Yomar. That's what it meant, that's what Rafuna meant when he said, Shriv Mirasha Kasav Kal Nechasav Leacher. He didn't write anything. He said, yeah, okay, to that guy, now who else would I give it to? The Amrit on Allah, and it's on that that you said, in Roy Liyosha Notam Mishum Yerusha Vimlav Notam Mishum Matana, that if he's Roy Liyosha, he gets it as Yerusha, and otherwise he gets it as a Matana. Meaning the point is that even though there was something so vague about what he said, he didn't give any indication whatsoever if this is a Yerusha, if this is a Matana, if this is anything, we're allowed to interpret it as a Yerusha if the person is a Roy Liyosha. We're allowed to interpret it as a Matana if the person is not Roy Liyosha. Amalai in. He said, yes, that's exactly what I meant to say. That was exactly the case where it's such a vague lashon where it could have gone either way, and that was my whole chiddush. Says Lamay Hilchsa, what difference does it make whether you're giving it as Yerusha or Matana? End of the day, whoever you're giving it to gets it. He gets the item. So Lamay Nafkamina, whether you get it as Yerusha or a Matana, the Nesivus and other Achronim are bothered. What the Gemara's question even is, what the Nafkamina, there are differences between Nesinas Yerusha and Nesinas Petaras Matana. A Nesina of a Davar Shelo Bal Yolam, for example, that works by Yerusha, does not work by Matana. I cannot give you a Matana of something that's Lo Bal Yolam, but I can give you a Yerusha of something that's Lo Bal Yolam. Or, for example, the Yerusha, the Manchil, is not able to be Chozerbo, a Matana. He is able to be Chozerbo before the Gemar Kinyan. So some wanted to learn that there are no other Chilukim between Yerusha and Matana, and these Dinim must be the same, and we must be misunderstanding something over here. So you have to figure out why it is that the Gemara is asking, what's the Nafkamina between Yerusha and Matana? Sounds like, generally speaking, everything is exactly the same by Yerusha and Matana. It's just that just does not seem to be the case. So the Gemara says as follows. Here's what the Nafkamina might be. Savra Ravad Barava Kameda Rav Lemeimar. Im Roy Liyarsho Almanaso Nizonas Minachasav. If it's going Bitoras Yerusha, then the man's almana will be able to get supported from the nechasim, because when a person leaves a Yerusha for his children, the children have to support the almana. The imlav ein almanas of nizonas minechasim. But if it was just stam matana that he had given, then the almana does not get nizonas, does not get supported from his nechasim. So that would be enough kamina. Amale Rava. Rava says, I don't believe that's enough kamina. The almana has to get supported regardless. Migra Gara, is she going to be worse off when it's given as a matana than when it's given as a Yerusha? Hashtab Yerusha Da'o Raisa Amrit Almanasa Nizonas Minachasav. Yerusha is a transaction that works on a Da'o Raisa level. And yet we still say, so these Yorshim have a very strong hold on this estate because Da'o Raisa their Kona. And still they have to give some of it up for the Almana. So the Matana Derabana no Kolshkein. When it's being given as a Matana and not as Yerusha. And that's only a Din Derabana, a Matna Shchimira. He didn't even do a real Kinyan. All it was Amira. That's only Midra. So their hold on it is much weaker. All the more so they should have to give some up for the almana. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, what is the nafkamina, whether it's Yerusha or Matana, kedeshalach Ravacha Barav Avya, that like Ravacha Barav Avya sent, l'divar Rabbi Yochum and Baruch, nechas elach, v'acharecha leploni. According to Rabbi Yochum and Baruch, let's say you say, I'm giving all of my nechasim to this one guy, and then after him, I want it to go to the next person. He determines after the first person that he's giving it to, after that person's gone, where it should go next. Ima Yerishon Ra'u Liyarsho, Ein Lasheni B'makom Rishon Klum. If the first one was in fact Roy Liyarsho, the second guy gets nothing. She'ein ze lashon matana el lashon Yerusha v'Yerusha in the hefsek, because he's not giving it as matana, he's giving it as Yerusha, and a Yerusha has no you can't divert a Yerusha. Yerusha goes along the halachic lines of Yerusha. So whoever the Yorshim of the first guy are, they're the ones that get it, not who you decided should get it next after the first guy. But a matana wouldn't work that way. By a matana, you'd be able to determine who would be the one to get it next. Amalei Rav Nachman, Vay Ifsika, Who suffer yesh lahefsek, Rachman Amar ein lahefsek. Meaning it's al tanai that the second guy should get it afterwards. Meaning he made that tanai, and so he thought that there is a he was masa mashikos b'torah. So it's the tanai should be batel, and that's the halacha. Like Rav Acha said that as we're about to see soon in the Gemara, that there's an episode that happened where we assume like Rav Acha braid Rav Avia, like he originally said that if you say acharecha l'ploni, if he's roi liyarsho, then he does not get to make that determination, even though you made that as a tanai in your original matana. And the Gemara tells the related story. I'm giving my nechasim to you, and then after you, let it go to so and so. The rishon ra'i liyarsho, and the first one is someone who was one of the yarshim. Have a shachiv rishon. The first guy dies, so the second guy, the one who the original owner had put in line to receive it next, came and said, "Okay, it's my turn." Rav Elish wanted to say the second guy will also get now, because that's how it was originally laid out. That was the plan, that it was going to go to this guy after the first guy. Amrle Dayane de Chatzatzta Hachi Daini. Dayanim of Chatzatzta would judge this way. Lav Hainu Shalach Rav Acha Bar Rav Avia. Don't you remember what Rav Acha Bar Rav Avia said? That once it goes be Yerusha, it has to follow the normal pattern of Yerusha, and you don't get to choose the second person. Ichsif. So he was very embarrassed that Rav Elish was embarrassed that he initially thought that it should go to the second guy. Kari Alei Ani Hashem Bi Ita Achishena. In order to make him feel better, he said, no, don't worry. Hashem saves people at the last moment sometimes. Meaning, don't be embarrassed. Rashbam explains, why was he embarrassed? Ichsif Rav Elish Mei Rava. He was embarrassed by Rava. Pen Yoma Rava Belibo. Lest Rava say about him in his heart, to think about him, Ilu Lo Yisi Bekana, Yadon Din Sheker. If I wouldn't have been here to save him, it would have come out a din sheker from this beis din. V'chein kol din shudon shalom b'fanai. Who knows what goes on when I'm not around? If I wasn't here to save him this time, he would have had a din sheker, and maybe every time I'm not around, he gets everything wrong. So that's why Rava wanted to comfort him. Rashbam explains, Kara lav Rava l'nachmo, ani Hashem bi'itach hishen be'isha tzedikim tzrichim liyeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtzi elahem, af ata ani yodeh b'ach shemayolam lo basa din tekala al yadcha. You're a tzaddik. I'm sure Hashem doesn't allow any takala to come through you. I'm sure every time you have a din, it's a din MS. Why is it that I caught you in a sheker? Hashem put me here dafka because this was the time that it was going to be a din sheker, and Hashem didn't want you to stumble. He would never cause a takala from a tzaddik. That's why I happened to have been here. It was all siyata d'shmaya that I happened to have been here at this time to save you. What are dayane d'chatzatzta? What exactly does that mean? So the Rashbam explains that these are dayanim that always do pshara. Why do they always do pshara? So there is a sugya at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin whether pshara is better than din or worse than din. One sheet is that it's worse than din because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us dine Torah. A person does pshara is like saying, no thank you Hashem, I figured it out all on my own and I have a better idea than what the dine Torah are. What a chutzpah to say such a thing. But the other idea is that pshara is better than din. That pshara is better than din because it is a greater sense of shalom, that it creates not just right and wrong, but that it can create a sense of shalom. Pshara does not mean like we use it in modern Hebrew, that it's a typical compromise where you just split the difference. That is not what pshara means in halacha. In halacha, pshara means that you come up with an equitable solution that everyone could agree makes sense. Sometimes it will be mechayev the guy to pay more money than the din was, not to just split the difference. But if it's something that everyone could appreciate, that it makes sense, that would be considered, you know, it's al pi seichel ayashar. It's a psak din based on seichel ayashar rather than a psak din based on the dinim of Choshen Mishpat. But over here, what the Rashbam is referring to is not that kind of pshara. That these are dayanim who do compromise pshara, which means, oh, you say he owes you $1,000, he says he owes you nothing, $500. Why would you do that? They treat everything like momen al multiple safek, because they know nothing. If you don't know anything, so that it's not the good kind of pshara. That we pass in halacha that dayanim are supposed to offer pshara first. That's the good kind of pshara. That's a pshara that's a psak al pisechal ayasher. The kind of pshara that Rashbam is talking about is a terrible kind of pshara, where you know nothing and you just say, okay, so you'll split the difference. Rabbeinu Chananel says that dayanim de chatzatzta are dayanim of a beis hakvaros. Rasha explains that it means, based on what the Gemara said earlier, Hu Amar Yeshlo Hefsik, meaning that a mace is mitzvah that is nechasiv should go to this guy after the Yoresh. So Dayane Beis Hakvaros, meaning the Dayanim of this dead guy. That's what they're saying. That you think the guy in the kever has the ability to determine who the next person should be. That's the lashon of Dayane the Chatzatzta. That you're Dayanim for a person in a kever, and that's ridiculous. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to be Dayanim for the living people. So that's the lashon of Dayane the Chatzatzta. There are several other suggestions in the Achronim what Dayane the Chatzatzta is. What comes out somewhat interesting from this sugya, though, is this is one of the rayas as to the authorship of the Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch was the Sefer in Rishonim that was written anonymously, and for years people attributed it to the Ra'ah, to Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi, the Ra'ah. And many, many posts can make that assumption. But there are lots of stiros between the Sefer HaChinuch and the Ra'ah in his other writings. So a lot of other people came to the maskana that that is an incorrect attribution. The Ra'ah did not write the Sefer HaChinuch. And if you look carefully at the Sefer HaChinuch, it seems instead that he was not even in the generation of the Ra'ah, he was in the following generation. The Ra'ah was a contemporary of the Rashba. This must have been a Talmud of the Rashba. And in fact, they find that most of the things that the Sefer HaChinuch quotes from Mori V'Rabbi, from his Rebbeim, you could find in the writings of the Rashba. So Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolios, in his Beis Ephraim, not in his Beis Ephraim, the author of the Beis Ephraim, in his Sefer Shar Ephraim, brings a raya from Aros Sugya. There's a Chuvas HaRashba where the Rashba was asked about a guy who's mitzaveh, that all of his nechasim should go to his daughter who is royally Yarsho, but he said afterwards the nechasim should go hektish aniyim, it should go to aniyim afterwards. Do we say that Yerusha ein lehefsik? No, once it goes to his daughter, so once she's gone, it'll go to her Yarshim, or do we say that no, hektish is different? Because the Gemara in Ksuba says that if a person is mafkid his mamon biyad shlish, he gives it to a third party, and he says, give my money to my children and afterwards to somebody else. So that works. And if the reason is that he gave the nechasim liyad shlish, so hu adin when he says that it should belong to Hegdash, because amira legvoa is kimasira lehegdash, meaning just like if he actually physically gave it to a shlish and said, okay, so support my daughter while she's alive and then afterwards give it all to somebody else. So because he physically gave it to that person, it works. So amira lehegdash is like a masira. It's like giving it to a shlish because he said it goes to Hegdash. So the Rashba was machriya that even in that case, Hegdish is not Zocha bin Nechasim. Whether it's those Nechasim that she sold before she died, or whether those Nechasim that are left over afterwards, Amira Legvo is not Kemesiru Gemur LeHegdish, until you consider a Kemoser, until you actually, to the point that you actually consider a Kemoser B'yad Shlish, it's only with regard to a Maisa Kinyan, that Amira Legvo is in place of a Maisa Kinyan, but it's not an actual Mesira. And that's what the Rashba writes. So the Ra'ah disagrees. And the Ra'ah says, no, Matna Shchiv Mirah doesn't apply at all to Hegdish, since they're not Birusha. So if he says, Acharecha LeHegdish, it has to be that Hegdish is Zocha already right now. So the daughter never received anything. She's completely written out. So that's why they go afterwards to Hegdish, because it never should have gone to the daughter in the first place, because he was giving it as a matana to Hegdish initially. So the Rashba quotes this shita of the Ra'ah in his Tshuvas, and the Rashba disagrees with this Ra'ah. So in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Tav, he writes as follows. Ugdola mizel lamanu morenu yishmerenu elukim berayos chazakos ubruros. My Rebbe said with very strong rayos, shafilu omer lemisha roi liyosha nechase lach va'acharech lehegdish. Afilu omer me'achshav lehegdish shayoresh zoch v'nechasim v'yesh lemach melas ben kol cheftas nafsho. That if a person says, I'm giving my nechasim to one yoresh, and then it's going to hegdish, it goes to the Yoresh. The Yoresh could do as they please with it. That is the Shita of the Rashba. That is not the Shita of the Ra'ah. So this idea of Acharecha Leploni, this sugya is one of the rayos that the Sefer HaChinuch was in fact not authored by the Ra'ah, but was authored by a Talmud of the Rashba. Says the Mishnah, new Mishnah now, Hakosev Nechasav, Hakosev Es Nechasav La'Cherim, V'Niach Es Banav. If a person writes that his Nechasim should go to other people, and he leaves his children out of the Yerusha. Masha asa asui, ala in racham noche menu. It's binding, but it's really not right. What he did is not, the Chacham are not pleased with him for doing such a thing. If his children are terrible children, then great, then he did a wonderful thing. But if his children are good kids, they're normal children, then it's not really in racham noche menu. What exactly does in racham noche menu mean? Is that an Isser or is that a Midas Chasidus? So some of the Achronim are Medayik from the Lashon Rashbam, where he says, Asul Asus Kain, that it's Mamish Averu Hu Biyado, that it's Mamish an Isser. From the Rambam, in the sixth paragraph of Vilchus Nachlos, it sounds like it's only Amidas Chasidus, because by Shriv Mirah, who's trying to give Matana to a guy, the Rambam writes, that it ain't Shomalo, because it's as if he's trying to be over Averu bin Chasav. But when it comes to being kosev nechasev la'acherim, he says masha asa asui, and he doesn't say that he's being over averu ben chasev. So the Rambam holds it's midas chasidus that ein racham nochem, and for someone to violate this this midas chasidus. But it's not technically, it's not strictly speaking an avera. It's something that should be avoided, that a person should not be doing. So Yibayiluhus, frak the Gemara, very fundamental question. We had two opinions or two authors of our Mishnah. The first one says that you're not, it's ein racham noche menu to divert the Yerusha away from the children. And the second one says if the children are bad, it's okay. Does Tanakama agree to Rabban Shimon Gamliel that if the children are bad, it's okay? Me pligi Rabbanan le Rabban Shimon Gamliel? Hello. Did the Rabbanan disagree with the statement of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, or do they agree with him? Tashema, the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya from a story. Di Yosef ben Yoezer, hayelo ben, shelo hayanoi kashura. Yosef ben Yoezer had a son who did not behave properly. Havalei Elisa didinri, come Akdisha. He had an Elisa de Dinri. He had a whole attic full of dinarim, and he was decided he was going to be Makdish it instead. He gave it to Akdish instead of letting it go, be Yerusha to his child. Azul Nasav Bas Gadil Kalili de Yanemalka. The son went and married the daughter of the crown maker for Yanai Amelech, Olida de Bitu, and this new wife gave birth, Zavin le Benisa. So he bought her a fish. Kara Ashkach ba Margalisa. She tore open the fish. This apparently happened way more often in Talmudic times than it happens nowadays. She tore open the fish and she found a precious gem in the fish. Samrele lo tamati lemalka de shakli laminach bedami kalili. She says, one thing I can tell you what to do with this. If you want to exchange this gem and get money for it, do not go to the king, because he's just going to take it and use it for the crown, and he'll pay you whatever he pays for normal crowns. He's not gonna give you fair market value for it. And what are you gonna do? Say no to the king? So don't offer it to the king. Zil amti legabi gizbari. Go to the gizbarim of Hegdish. They're the people you want to talk to. Velot shayme at. But also be careful. You should not make the first offer, the first assessment, because you have no idea what it's worth, and you might say an assessment that's worth way less than it's actually worth. But once you say it, you're going to be bound by it, because Amira Legvo is Kemisira Lehadiot. El Leshaimua in who? Rather, let the Gizbarim of Hegdish, let them tell you the price. They're honest people, so they're going to make sure they're going to give you a price that makes a lot of sense and that actually is correct. So she was a very wise businesswoman. That's what she told her husband to do with this gem. So Amtias, he brought it, Shamua Bitlesri Lasi Didinri. And they evaluated it as 13 attics full of dinar. The father had one of these rooftops full of dinarim that he deprived the child of and instead gave to Hagdish. Now the son has this gem that's worth 13 times that amount of money. So Amri Leh, Sheva Ika, Shisleka. So the Gizbarim said, look, we could pay you 7 of these 13 units, whatever these are, but 6 we don't have. We don't have them right now. We only have 7 in the treasury. So Seven is good. The other 6 I'll be makdash l'shamayim, meaning the value of the other 6 that will belong to Hagdish. There's more. He already won the lottery. There's more than he ever imagined in his wildest dreams. Amdu v'kasu Yosef ben Yozer. Hichnis Achas, Ubno, Hichnis Sheish. So they wrote that Yosef ben Yoazer, he was Machnis one, and his child brought six times that value to Hagdish by donating all that to Hagdish. V'ikad Amri, others say, no, Yosef ben Yoazer, Hichnis Achas, Ubno, Hotzi Sheva, that Yosef ben Yoazer donated one, he took seven away from Hagdish. But either way, Midkamri Hichnis, from the fact that we're praising Yosef ben Yoazer for being Machnis, that he, look what he did, he contributed to Hagdish, Michal de Shaper Oved. Sounds like he did the right thing, that it was a good thing that he made such a contribution. Says Gemara Adrava, Midkamri Hotzi, Michal de Lav Shaper Oved. From the fact that it says Hotzi, it sounds like he didn't do the right thing, that because of what Yosef ben Yoazer did, his son ended up taking more away from Hagdish. That all of this only happened because he didn't give the proper Yerusha to his son. I don't know why that assumption is correct, that all of this happened only because he didn't give the proper Yerusha. Whether the assumption is that he never would have married this woman had he gotten the proper Yerusha, or he never would have found the gem in this fish. But whatever it is, that the fact that we say that we criticize that he was Hotzi, so maybe that shows you that he didn't do the right thing. So it must be that we cannot derive anything from here. There's nothing that we could derive from here. Now, what were they planning on doing with this gem? What did Hagdish need it for? So the Rashbam writes they needed it for the Avnei HaEfod. This story happened already in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And when the Rashbam says Avnei HaEfod, it means the Urim V'Tumim. So even though the Urim V'Tumim didn't really work as far as being able to tell us things and lighting up, but it has two functions. Number one, it tells us things when we had questions. So it didn't do that during the Bayis Sheni. But number two, it's part of the Big Day Kuhuna Gedolah. So as part of the Big Day Kuhuna Gedolah, they still needed the Avanim Le'efod. We have another story in Shas about needing the Avanim Le'efod, and that is by the story of Dama ben Nesina, who didn't want to wake up his father. Right, the story with the Kibbut Ava'im Sugya. That too, during Zman Bayis Sheni. That's not during Zman Bayis Rishon, but they still needed it for the basic Big Day Kuhuna. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara will start with the second Raya tomorrow, and then we'll go from there.